morning, everybody. So glad to have you here. Ooh, things are popping up here. All right, that's what happens when we do stuff live. That's all right. So I've got some things that I want to share with you this morning. As you know, our governor, state Supreme Court has struck down the stay-at-home order. And we are making plans to reopen our church. Amen? So we are excited about that. I want to share that as good news. You can expect this week for emails, for Facebook posts, and for a message by video from me stating when we're going to be meeting and the particulars about our meeting. Because here's the thing. I know that there are there's a lot of nervous people out there. I know that are still fearful about their health. Maybe your immunity is compromised. Your immune system is compromised, or you have underlying health issues. And we want to make sure that we're trying to accommodate for everybody. And look, there are people right now that have texted me the day that order was shot down. Are we having church on Sunday? And if it was up to them, they would be here right now in the sanctuary. And there are other people who are saying, you know what, probably it'll be late summer before I feel comfortable coming back. Whatever the circumstance may be, as your leader, as the pastor of New Freedom, I want to make the best decision for our church as a whole. And I know I'm not going to make everybody happy, but I'm going to make somebody happy, and I hope it's you. And I told a group of friends the other day that if you wanted to make everybody happy as a leader, you need to sell ice cream, all right? So that's just the way it is. I don't sell ice cream, I lead. And so my job is not to make everybody happy, but to make the best decisions for our church as a whole. And so you're going to be hearing announcements come up this week. Our staff is going to start meeting again and having office hours this coming week. And we're going to be planning on reopening our church, and we're gonna have in place best practices, and things are gonna look a little different when we come into church. But I can tell you this: when we do come in, we're not coming fearfully, we're not coming timidly. We're gonna come in with a full steam of head, and we're gonna worship God, and we're gonna celebrate the fact that we are worshiping together as a church again. Amen. And so I'm very excited about that. And so here's what we're going to do. So the things that are going to continue to happen is we're going to continue to live stream. So when we come back, you're going to continue to see the camera up, and we're going to be live streaming, because we have had families that have found our church through live stream, and we want to accommodate that. But we also want to invite you here to our church on Sunday mornings as we worship God. You have effectively found your new home church, and we are glad that you want to be a part of what we're doing here at New Freedom Church. And so, because of that, what I want to do is I want to challenge you for the next few weeks or so that we are exclusively streaming live. I want to challenge each and every one of you to repost this service right now. I would love to see 25 posts, reposts of our service. And by the way, the thing about this live stream is we all went into this not knowing exactly what was going to happen. And my primary goal was to have our church family stay connected through live stream. But what has happened is, over the course of these several weeks that we've been out, we have had 1,500 to 2,000 people watching our services on a weekly basis. So my expectation when we come back into service again together is that our church is going to look different, and there's going to be new families that have found us online that want to see us and be a part of our service in person. And we are excited about that. And I want to personally thank you for allowing me to speak into your life on a regular basis via live stream. And so this morning, I want to begin to bring the message this morning. And that message is entitled, I Interrupt This Broadcast to Bring You Good News. All right? I am tired of the negative news, the latest job numbers. How many of you guys are just sick of looking at all of that? Another news alert. If I see another news alert, I'm just death tolls, political fighting, right? And the list goes on and on and on. So I've been asking the Lord to help me see the good. And sometimes it is very difficult to see the good in all the bad, especially when it's something that we're not familiar with, when we don't know what the view looks like around the corner. It's hard to see the good in all of the negative. I have to fight to keep my perspective of faith with a very positive attitude. Because here's the thing, all right? Because a negative outlook never leads to a positive life. A negative outlook never leads to a positive life. So enough of the bad news, and let's start that right now. The good news is, for the immediate future, is we are going to be opening our church back up. I've been meeting with all kinds of other pastors throughout these weeks. Every single week I meet up with some amazing pastors from around this community, and all of them are making plans right now to reopen their churches, and we are so excited for that opportunity to do that. Okay, so let's take a look at what optimism looks like and what optimism isn't. All right, so before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to preach the good news this morning. Father, my heart is filled with joy. My spirit is full of expectation that you can do exceedingly above everything we can ask or think of. And I thank you for the opportunity right now to preach the word of God. And I ask, Lord, that it would speak into every home, into every heart, into every situation, and bring about the good news. So, Father, we thank you and we trust you for the word of God this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at what optimism means, and let's look at what it is not. Okay, first, optimism is not a denial of reality. It's not putting our heads in the sand and act like everything is okay. We're not playing the violin while the Titanic is going down, okay? That's not what optimism is. It just isn't. It's not blind faith. It's not a blind leap of faith, all right? That's not what it is either. It's not just a naive, wishful thinking that everything is going to be okay. The definition of optimism is this. It's confidence about the future or a successful outcome, all right? A confidence about the future or a successful outcome. The interpretation of this as a believer goes something like this. Optimism is the unwavering expectation that our loving God is working in every situation for our future good. Now, I've been on this journey of eating well and exercising. Man, I can tell you that exercising is a pain, all right? It's a pain. A lot of times I'm on the floor on my back huffing and, you know, my hamstrings are hurting. Dana and I ran 3 miles yesterday. For me, that is a lot. And by the way, my youngest son, Joshua, ran 5, and he said, I can't let my old man outdo me, so he ran 5 miles, which upset me greatly, but... well, and so, but I know that in the pain of working out and the pain of pushing away the Snickers and grabbing the apple, right? In the midst of doing that, I'm producing in my body good things, health, and it's coming from a place sometimes of pain. And it's hard to see the good in the pain. It's hard to see the good in all of the bad. But we have to understand that God is working for our good. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul put it all in perspective when he wrote in Romans 8, chapter 28, he said these words, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." The key phrase in Romans 8, 28 is this, "And we know that in all things," whether it be in joblessness, whether it be in failing health or a pandemic, we know that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He is working for our good. But it's hard to see that when we're suffering. It's hard to see that when we can't buy things for our family because we haven't had a paycheck in 7 weeks. It's hard to see that when we filed for unemployment and still have not got it and feel as though we're still at the back of the line. It's hard to see that God is working for our good in the middle of our sickness, in the middle of our separation, in the middle of our anxiety, in the middle of our stress and depression. It's hard to see God working for our good. But it's in those moments that the Word of God truly becomes alive in the believer's life. When we know the Word of God, when we hide it in our heart, so that we can pull it out in the day of suffering. That we can remember that Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God is working for my good." He is working for my good. As believers, we have the expectation that no matter how bad things are, no matter how bleak it may be, God is working for our good. So here is what comes into play when we fight to stay optimistic. Okay? Our thought life becomes very important. Very important. Because what consumes your mind controls your life. What you allow in your mind on a regular basis controls you, manipulates you, convinces you, pushes you forward, and you defend that which comes through your mind. Maybe you wouldn't have at the beginning. Maybe it was absurd. That thought was absurd. But the more you allow it unchecked in your life, the more you allow it into your thought life on a regular basis, unchecked, you begin to be convinced of it. So much so that you defend the lie in your life. That's why it's important that we guard our minds through Christ Jesus, because what consumes our minds controls our life. Our thoughts can be fueled by two things, fear or faith. Fear or faith. Here is a revelation for you today. Listen to me. Just because the thought exists doesn't make it true. That is a profound statement. Just because the thought exists doesn't make it true. Every Wednesday night, ever since this pandemic started and the lockdown began, begin to do teachings on mental health and emotional health. And one of the things that I said Wednesday was I talked about our thought life, how it affected every facet of our life. And one of the statements I made was, and it didn't originate with me, this is not an original thought by Jimmy McDonald, it's something that I picked up, is this: just because the thought exists does not make it true. You do not have to believe everything you think about. It's time that we stop allowing every thought, every vain thought, every ill-intentioned thought to come in one ear into our mind, digested down into our spirit, and propelled out of our life, out of our mind, and how we see ourselves. We've got to line up those thoughts with what Scripture teaches us. Because when we don't know what's true anymore, the one thing that holds true, despite what's coming into our minds, coming into our spirits, and enacted out of our life, is the Word of God. It never changes. It never shifts. It never amends itself around how you feel, the way you perceive yourself. It's always true. It's always consistent. And it's always going to lead you in the right direction. You want to be optimistic? Find joy in the Word of God. Because when you find joy in the Word of God, it begins to take hold and root in your mind, digested into your spirit, and propelled through your life. Proverbs tells us that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. That's why it's important to understand that the quality of your life will never exceed the quality of your thoughts. All right? The quality of your life will never exceed the quality of your thoughts. Pessimists tend to view negative events as personal and permanent. Some people may have a conversation like this with somebody that you don't like talking to because they're such a pessimist. Hey, how's it going? Not doing any good. Been raining on me since Tuesday. Haven't felt the sun since 5 years ago. Don't know when the last good thing ever happened to me. If I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And so we perpetuate this thought pattern because we've allowed it into our minds, we've digested it into our spirit, and we're living it out in our life. And pessimists tend to view everything through a negative lens, and personally, and more importantly, permanent. It kind of comes out like this. It's my fault. I am no good. Nothing ever goes my way. It's always going to be this way. I'm never going to get ahead, and things are never going to get better. Some of you are finishing my sentences because it's a familiar phrase in your life. That we've learned to be pessimistic. We've learned to expect less. We've learned to expect rejection. It's hard for us to give out love because we're suspect of everybody. And the question is this morning, where do you tend to land in all of this? Where do you tend to land in your thought life? This is what we need to do when the negative begins to try to take over our thought life. We have to feed our faith, and we have to starve out our fear. Because whatever we feed will grow, and whatever we starve will die. We've got to feed our faith. We got to push out the negative in our life. That doesn't mean denying there's issues. That doesn't mean denying your situation. That doesn't mean that you're denying that you're sick or denying that you're struggling, but that you confront it through faith that God is stronger, that God has it under control, that He is working even in my pain, even in my fear, He is working for my good. He is working for my good. And so, I like that the Apostle Paul tells us exactly how he's feeling sometimes. He allows us into our thought patterns. We think of the apostles as not having any issues in life whatsoever, that they have these halos around their head, just like we view Jesus with the praying hands and the side view. We tend to look at the apostles the same way. But I love how Paul lets us into his thought life. Romans 7, Paul says, I do not understand what I do. Have you ever been there? Ever been in that place? Where you're struggling, you're trying, but you're thinking to yourself, I do not understand what I do. He goes on to say, for what I want to do, I do not do. Sound familiar? But what I hate, that I find myself doing. Have you ever been in that place? This sounds like a very relatable thought for a lot of people, including myself. Well, we're trusting God and we're believing for healing. We're believing for this promotion. We're believing to come out of this pandemic with greater faith than we went in, only to realize that that fear keeps knocking at our door, that every time we think we get to a summit, it's a false summit. Every time we think we get ahead, we take two steps back. But we have to understand that greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. The greatest thing that we could ever do for ourselves is to admit to ourselves that we do not have the strength to do it alone. To allow Jesus to fight our battles for us, knowing that the battle is His, that it's already won, and that we should look at this thing from the standpoint of victory and not defeat. That is what optimism is. Now, Paul goes on to say, even though he says, I don't understand what I do, because what I want to do, I don't do, and what I am doing, I hate it. But Paul goes on to say in Romans 8:18, he said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That is an amazing statement. But the question is, how did Paul suffer? What kind of suffering would Paul know about? Well, I looked it up. Listen as I read the suffering of Paul. 5 times he was beaten with 40 lashes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked and spent a night in the open sea adrift. He was beaten and left for dead on the side of the road. And somehow, some way, he miraculously penned these words. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. This is a man that's qualified to write about sufferings. This is a man that is familiar with sorrows as our Lord was. And yet Paul said, I consider that my present suffering. Would you just put your hand right here and make it personal? I consider that my present sufferings are not worthy of comparing with the glory that will be revealed in me. Amen. That is optimistic. That is real. Because even though that we don't feel it, by faith we receive it, knowing that God is moving heaven and earth for our good, for your good. So I ask you, where are you experiencing a hardship that deeply affects your soul today? Is it joblessness? Is it kids? Is it working from home? Having to deal with the dog coming in, wanting attention, maybe the cat jumping up on the keyboard, right? Maybe it's the kids coming in asking questions over and over and over again, only to put your work on hold and make you work longer during the day. Or maybe it's being a teacher to your kids. How many of you guys have strangled your kids? Raise your hand. I can see you. I can see you. I see you. Or the is it the uncertainty of where all of this is when all of this is going to end? I've never been in this time before. I've never functioned in this kind of reality before, but I can tell you this. I know where my hope lies. My hope lies in the Lord. And even though that I felt fearful, even though as a husband and a father, I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen next or how to lead my family or how to lead my church. But I asked for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And you know what happens? He gave it. And so I am declaring and I am decreeing that I'm not limping out of this stay-at-home order. I'm leaping and rejoicing out of this stay-at-home order. Amen? That I have grown as a man, as a husband, as a dad, as a leader, as a chaplain, as a man through this. And I declare today that God is my strength and my hope. Not the government, not any other public official, but Christ himself is my hope. So here's the application of Paul's words this morning. The struggle I am in today produces the strength I need for tomorrow. The struggle right now, the struggle that you're in today, produces for me strength that I'm going to need for tomorrow. I'm letting God's word renew my mind. If you are fearful, this is what Jesus is. He is your rock. If you are weak, he is your strength. If you are confused, he is your guide. If you find yourself discouraged, he is your hope. Feed your faith and starve out fear starting right now. Because we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his good purpose. Amen? This is who Jesus is. This is our hope. This is the good news I have to deliver for you today. That no matter where you are, call out upon his name, and there is no height that is too high that he cannot get to you. There's no depth that is too low that he cannot get to you. Because there's no limit to his strength. He loves you with an everlasting love. Be optimistic. Be positive. And no matter what, choose today, deliberately choose today, to reject those negative thoughts and cling to the word of God that always holds true no matter what's happening in this world. Amen? Amen. I want to pray with you today. And maybe there's somebody watching today that is saying, you know, Pastor, for a long time, I haven't had hope. And the only hope that I can offer you today is in the person of Jesus Christ. He is your hope. It can't be found in a situation. It can't be found in a place. It can't be found in a church building. It can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ, who lived, who died, who resurrected again, just for you. And if you'll receive him into your life, repent of your sins. Call upon his strength and love. You know what the Bible says that he will do? He said that he would be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then after that, he gives you a promise. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will be closer to you than a brother. then he said this. He said, if you feel as though you don't have strength to fight, I will be your strength in your time of weakness. If you're confused, ask for wisdom from me and I'll give it to you. I love you. And I'll always be with you. So would you pray with me this morning? Pray something like this. Lord Jesus, this morning I give you my life. I give you my sin that I can't do anything about. Father, I receive your love. I receive your constant presence. I receive your strength. And I receive your joy today. Every promise you have for me, I thank you for it and I receive it gladly. And in exchange, I give you my fear. I give you my worry and my anxious thoughts. I turn them over to you, Lord Jesus. And so today, I put my trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, thank you so much for watching today. If you need prayer about anything, would you private message the church? And we would love to pray with you, talk with you. If you receive Christ today as your Lord and Savior, you have good news to tell. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to Jesus' love and forgiveness. Welcome to the family, to the church. And so, again, reach out to us. We'd love to pray with you, give you resources. I want to encourage you again to share this video. Again, our time is limited concerning doing live streams solely. We're going to be meeting back here together very, very soon. So share this. 25 shares. We're going to get there. And let's get the word out about what Christ has done for us. This is good news for you today. God bless you guys and enjoy your Sunday.